Today we want to think on the subject, is Jesus really coming again? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep or died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Now scoffers sarcastically asked this question. They thought that since 35 years had passed since Jesus had ascended up into heaven, that they were justified in asking this question. And today, about 2,000 years later, there are still many within professing Christendom who do not believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. They say that if Jesus were really coming again, he would have come by now. And so there are some that say what Christ really meant when he said he'd come again was that he would return to live within the life of every sinner who has been converted. And yet the Apostle Paul was already converted, and notice what he said in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And then there are others that say, Christ comes at the death of a Christian to take the soul into heaven. And yet, the Apostle Paul said when the Christians that said concerning the Christians that had already died. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of God, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And then there are others that say what Christ really meant was that he returned again when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And yet notice what Peter preached following Pentecost in Acts chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Peter said, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." And that was after the Holy Spirit had come at Pentecost. So how can the Christian have assurance that Jesus Christ is really coming again? And upon what do we base this hope? It rests upon the authority and the integrity of the Bible. It has its roots deep within the Old Testament. And I'm going to refer to a bunch of scripture portions that talk about the coming of Christ. Some refer to his first coming, and others refer to when he's coming again. In Genesis 3:15, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, God gave the first promise of the Redeemer. He said, "The one whose heel would be bruised." And that referred to when Christ came the first time and died on Calvary. As time went on, God progressively revealed what the coming Redeemer would be like and what he would do. In Genesis 9:26, it says that he would be a descendant of Noah's son, Shem. And in Genesis 12:3, it says he would be of the seed of Abraham, through whom all families of the earth would be blessed. And in Genesis 49:10, it says he would be king out of the tribe of Judah. And then Deuteronomy 18:15 tells us that he would be a prophet like unto Moses. And 1 Samuel 2:35 says he would be a priest like unto Samuel. And Psalm 110:4 says, yet his priesthood would be after the order of Melchizedek. And 2 Samuel 7:16 tells us that as a descendant of King David, he would be guaranteed a house, a throne, and an eternal kingdom. And Psalm 2:2-7 tells us that he would be called the Anointed One, the Eternal Son of God. And in Psalm 22, for the first time then, it was revealed that he would suffer greatly for the sins of his people. And that's, of course, when he came the first time. And Psalm 24 prophesied his entrance into Jerusalem as the King of Glory. And Isaiah 7:14 says he was to be virgin born because he would be God with us. And that's, of course, when he came the first time. And Isaiah 9:6 says he would be both divine and human. And that refers when he came the first time. And Isaiah 11:2 says he would be spirit-filled. And Isaiah 40:3 says he would be preceded by a forerunner. That, of course, was John the Baptist at his first coming. And Isaiah 53 says that his sufferings on the cross would be awful. They were described in Isaiah 53. And Daniel 7:13 says he is to come with the clouds of heaven. And that refers to his second coming to earth. And Daniel 9:24-27 tells us that the time of his first coming tells us when the time of his first coming was actually determined. And Zechariah 2:10 and Zechariah 14:4-8 says that as the one who was pierced and would one day come to the Mount of Olives, destroy Israel's enemies, and establish a worldwide kingdom of peace and righteousness. And that, of course, refers to his second coming. Now, two messages were presented throughout the Old Testament. It was his suffering and his reigning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, we read, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory which should follow. You see, when the Old Testament presented both his suffering and reigning, the prophets were puzzled, and they couldn't reconcile how he could come and suffer and then also reign. And what they didn't realize was that it would take two comings to accomplish these things. In the first coming, the Messiah would come, be born of a baby, and grow up and would suffer and die and provide spiritual redemption. But in the second coming, the Messiah will come to deliver Israel from her enemies and establish his glorious kingdom, and that's the millennial reign of Christ. To the believer, this gives assurance. Just as the prophecies of his first coming were literally filled about 2,000 years ago, so we can expect that the unfulfilled prophecies of the second coming will literally come to pass. Now, the Christian also believes that Jesus will come again because he himself said that he would. Not only because the Old Testament prophesied, but Jesus himself declared that he would come. And this should be proof enough. He is the Son of God, and therefore whatever he had said must come to pass. What he prophesied concerning his death and resurrection were literally accomplished, and therefore his promise to return can be relied upon. Throughout his earthly ministry, he casually talked about his return. He used parables to teach it. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 40, we read, "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." And then he spoke of it after weeping over Jerusalem, back in Matthew chapter 23, verse 39. "For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Here he spoke of a time of absence, a physical, visible return, and a future reception by Israel. And this prompted the disciples to ask a question, and we see that in Matthew 24, verse 3. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" You see, he then explained the conditions that would prevail upon earth prior to his coming and the signs of that event. At his trial before the religious leaders of Israel, he answered the question about his deity this way. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 64, we read, "Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of glory." This caused the Pharisees to accuse him of blasphemy, to spit in his face, to strike him, and to sentence him to death. Why would Jesus have made such an outrageous claim at such a critical time in his life if it were not so? During his 40 days of ministry, following his death and resurrection, he again spoke of his coming, and we see that in John chapter 21, John 21, verses 21 and 22. And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. He wasn't talking about his resurrection or his return to talk to them again. He was talking of something still future. Almost 60 years later, he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, he said to the Apostle John, He that testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then, thirdly, an event in Jesus' life spoke of his return. Now, John the Baptist, Jesus, and the apostles all preached the same message. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Israel rejected the message and conspired to kill Christ. It was then Christ first mentioned the building of the church in Matthew 16:18. This was also the time when Christ first mentioned that he would suffer, die, and rise again. This caused Peter to rebuke him. This was disgraceful news to Peter. Peter wanted Jesus to reign, not to die. But then notice what Jesus said. And we see this back in Matthew chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. Matthew 16, verses 27 and 28. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now notice, Jesus said some there would not die until they had seen Christ come to establish his kingdom. And yet, they all died. So what happened? What did Jesus mean by that statement? Well, notice in Matthew 17, verses 1 to 3, and after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now, transfigure means to change. So what took place there? When Jesus came to earth as a baby, he laid aside the glory that radiated from the beauty of his person. He appeared as any other man. There was no glow on his face, and no halo about his head, and no glory that shined forth from him. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, he appeared as he will when he returns back to earth at the second coming. And notice what Peter later said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, we read, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain," or in other words, on the Mount of Transfiguration there. Now Peter understood this, that this was a preview of what it would be like when Jesus returned to earth to establish his kingdom here upon earth. If there was no other evidence, this alone convinced Peter that Christ would return. But there was evidence. There was the evidence of the Old Testament prophecies, and there was the evidence of what Christ said, and then the evidence of what happened when Christ was transfigured before them. Yes, Jesus is coming again. Now, this has reference to when he literally comes to earth following the Great Tribulation, the 7-year tribulation. But Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds at the rapture of the church before the tribulation. He won't come to earth then, but the Bible says that every believer, dead or alive, shall be changed and caught up and meet Christ in the air, and we shall be with the Lord. And then 7 years later, Christ shall return to this earth, and he shall establish his kingdom and his throne here upon the earth. And that's what the Bible tells us, and it's literal. So we know that Christ is coming again because the scripture tells us. Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are that Jesus came the first time to be born as a baby and to go to the cross and die on the cross for our sin in order that we might have our sins forgiven and that we might have eternal life. But Father, we thank you that he's also coming again in the clouds at the rapture of the church to take every believer, dead or alive, up to be with himself. But then, Father, 7 years later, we thank you that Jesus is going to literally come here to earth, and he's going to establish his kingdom here upon earth. And we thank you for that wonderful truth. Father, I pray that we might look forward to that. And if there is anybody listening to this that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today they would ask him to have their sins forgiven and to have eternal life and to come into their heart and life and be their Savior. And then they'll also have this promise that Jesus is coming again, and they can look forward to that wonderful truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.